Hi, this is Tony Robbins. Welcome to The Time of Your Life, part of our personal coaching collection. Listen, I'm curious why you picked this up. You know, why are you listening to this right now? You don't have enough time as it is. My guess is because there's some stress in your life you'd like to get rid of, or there's some things that you really want to be able to do, accomplish, create, or give to those you love, but you feel like there just isn't enough time. You know, I don't know if it's because you've experienced my work before and so you're familiar and you've made a difference in your life, let's say physically or emotionally or in a relationship or in your finances or your career or whatever, and you just want to now master this area of your life and you're committed to focusing on it. If so, welcome back and I thank you for joining me and I promise to deliver for you. Or maybe you picked this up just on a whim, or maybe you've been stuck in bed late at night turning channels and there I was haunting you with my big white teeth and those silly infomercials telling you you can have a better life, and you're thinking, I don't need any motivation. But then you saw the subject of time and you went, that's an area where it might be useful to have a few insights. Well, whatever reason you took this on, I want to make you three promises. If you'll take what I'm sharing with you and master it in a very, very simple form, regardless of the system you're using, I can promise you that one, you can take back control of your life. You can get out of overwhelm and you can practice these tools right away and see that it works. Two, I want to show you how to get the results you want for your life, instead of ending up getting the results you want mixed in with everything else. And thirdly, most importantly, how to be more fulfilled. See, I can show you, like anyone can, some mechanics of how to manage your time, and that's very useful. Like, you know, no one teaches us how to deal with email. But without a few fundamentals, it drives you crazy, doesn't it? So having some mechanics is important. But my goal in everything I do, it's not just one subject like time. I see myself as a Trojan horse. I want to get you here and show you how to transform your time as one way of transforming your life. But we know you can't separate your time from your relationships. You can't separate your time from your emotions. You can't separate time from your body and the amount of energy you feel. I mean, when you're tired and exhausted, what happens to your time? Everything's stressful, isn't it? So I want you to know that I try to look for the ultimate solutions in life. What would it take for your life to be the way you really want it? What would an extraordinary life look like for you today? Not somebody else's idea, yours. To me, an extraordinary life, a magnificent life, is life on your terms. And if I'm going to begin to coach you here and support you, I want you to remember that managing your time, if that's what you came here for, you can do that perfectly and still be completely unfulfilled. Having had the experience of getting everything done on your to-do list, probably rare these days because the list gets bigger and bigger, but you got everything done and you still weren't fulfilled? Why? Maybe you fell into the trap of mistaking movement for achievement, or worse, achievement for fulfillment. See, we know that if we're going to have an extraordinary life, 80% of the battle is psychology, meaning our mindset. 20% is what to do in life. I mean, you know, what does it take to lose weight? It's not that complex. But most people don't do it because they don't have the mindset, the psychology. So what I want to do in this short time with you is help you to realize that to take control of your life again, have an extraordinary life, you got to take on a different psychology. And I'll tell you what it is. Most people in this world today, most Americans, most North Americans, most people in the world, would you say that they are physically fit, strong, energetic, that they feel like their life is magical, they're filled with the emotions that cause them to be fulfilled, like gratitude, drive, passion, excitement, you know, connection, love? Or would you say they're more frustration, overwhelmed, stressed out? Would you say they're more fit or more fat? Not hard to figure that one out in this country. You know, would you say that their relationships are passionate and joyous and connected, or constantly interrupted in their flow by these activities of the new technologies that are supposed to give us more time, like email, instant message, and your Crackberry, right? Most of this stuff is not showing up for people in a magnificent way. Most people don't feel like they've mastered their time or their life. They're financially stressed. They're stressed in their career. They're contributing, but they're not celebrating. In order to change that, we've really got to decide we're not going to dabble, but we're going to master our lives. And I'll tell you, I think there are a few areas you got to master: your body, your emotions, the sense of meaning in your life, your relationships, time, yes, time, your career or your mission, whichever you call it. For some people, it's their work. Your sense of mastery of your finances, so you have some freedom in that area, and your ability to contribute and celebrate so you have a life of meaning. And so everything comes back to that. And I would say the way you master any of these areas of your life is you realize there's two skills you got to master time or anything else. There's the mechanics side, which I call the science of achievement. See, every one of us, if we're going to be fulfilled, we know how to take what we dream about and turn it into reality. How to take that stuff that's a thought in your mind, this goal, this desire, and make it happen. And to do it consistently takes a system. So there's a science to your body, obviously. You know, there are laws. You violate those laws. Everybody has a unique body. It's biochemically different than anybody else's. But there's certain fundamental laws that if you break them, you're going to be in pain. And if you live by them, you're going to have energy. Same thing's true with money, regardless of your age or your background or your gender or your color or your belief systems. It doesn't matter. You align with certain financial laws, you're going to win. You're going to have an abundance financially long term. You violate them, you're going to have too much month at the end of the money or a heck of a lot of financial pressure. So I've spent my life, 30 years, circling the globe, literally meeting people that have started with nothing and achieved the highest level of what they've dreamed. And I studied how they do it, and I've put into systems, and that's what's allowed me for 30 years to be able to coach some of the most successful people in the world, because I know the tools to get you from where you are to where you want to get quickly, easily, efficiently, and with a whole lot of fun. But I'll tell you something. If you master all those rules, and you know what to do, and you do the right steps, and you get it all done, and you master your time, and you master all these areas of your life, but you're not fulfilled, what do you got? Success without fulfillment is failure. And fulfillment is an art. So that means to have art, you know, everyone has different tastes. What's going to fulfill you is different than the person next to you or me or anyone else. What they think is ugly, you might think is beautiful or vice versa. So you got to know yourself. You got to know what's most important to you. And if there's anything that's going to change your life, it's taking a breath and taking the time to stop all the input and all the activity and say, before I do anything else, I'm not going to ask, what do I need to do? I got to figure out, what do I want for my life today? What do I really want for my life today? And why do I want it? You know, the average American today is working 50 hours on average. It was less than 40 hours 30 years ago. But that 50 hours doesn't include all the time you have on your cell phone on the way and back and forth to work. It doesn't include all the interruptions in your life in this fragmented society where there's asynchronous communication. Nothing gets completed. It's a little piece here, a little piece there. You're in the middle of something that matters and boom, it's interrupted all over again. It doesn't count any of that. That's just the 50 hours. So we've seen a 25% increase in work, but we're not seeing people more fulfilled. See, the art of fulfillment is part of mastering time, and I'll tell you why. Let me ask you a question. If you're going to master this area of your life called time, not just manage it, but master it, you got to know what it is you're managing or mastering. So what is time? Have you ever taken the time to think about that? This area that gives you so much stress, my time, I just don't have enough time. Well, what is that? What is this thing that's making you so stressed? Think about it. When I ask people, you know, what is time? They usually get glossy-eyed and go, what do you mean? Well, you say it's the source of your stress. So then I ask them another question. Then my question to you, how much is a long time? How much is a short time? So I know what a long time is. It's you talking. You haven't gotten the point here. I want to master my time. You tell me I got to master my body and my emotions and everything else. Get to the point. Just show me what to do so I can get the result done right now, quicker, faster. Well, then there'll just be more quicker, faster things for you to do. Here's what time is. It's emotion. Think about it. Ever had a minute feel like an eternity? Like you're waiting to get the results on a test for your health or someone else you care about? Or you're standing in line? Or, you know, you're under the pressure, you got to go pick up your kids and you're trying to get something else done before something else gets closed and meet everybody's expectations and it seems impossible. You know, I've had a minute feel like an eternity, and we've also had times in our life where, heck, I'm sure you've had times where it's like, what do we say? Time flew. Where'd the time go? Hours went by, but it felt like minutes. Have you had some times like that too? Then time is just a feeling. It's a mental construct. Which means if you're going to take control of your time, I can give you a new BlackBerry. I can give you a new PDA. I can give you a brand new multifaceted time management software piece. The problem with all these tools is they're all asking you the same question. They all start out whether you got, you know, a paper product, you know, that you're managing things on. They all say, what do I need to do? And today, if you're an achiever, which you must be, if you're probably taking the time to listen to something like this, there's always more to do than you have time, isn't there? So we've got to figure out what we're going to do that matters most to us in our sense of contribution to our families, our friends, to ourselves, to our long-term future. That's what you're going to learn this simple system for, and we call it RPM. RPM means rapid planning method. It'll take a little time to gather and understand it, but once you do, you'll start moving faster than ever because you're going to be doing the things that matter most to you. And it's going to get you to change the thinking and therefore the feeling in your body. So things that used to stress you out, you'll be in the middle of it and go, oh, wait a second, hold it. No, I'm going to move from the world of have to the world of get to. That's when your life changes. Why are most people stressed right now? It's because they don't have control of their emotions. They don't have control of their time because they're living in a world of constant reaction. Now you're going to say, Tony, you're going to tell me not to have any more emails, no more instant messages, no more Crackberry? No. I'm going to show you how to manage it so it doesn't control you. Because stress, my friend, comes from one simple thing. When you feel like you're more in control of events than events are in control of you, you're going to feel good about your life. But when you feel like events are controlling you more than you're controlling them, you're going to be stressed. So it's going to start with getting clear about what you want, then moving you into why you want it. So there's a different reason for following through. And then it'll finally move you into what to do. And that may seem like more steps, but then you're going to be focused on what matters and you're going to get the result and you're going to achieve it and you're going to enjoy it as opposed to living in this reactive world that most of us are. And I'll tell you how I came about this. Honestly, it started out very young. I'm a passionate guy. I love people. I live to see people lit up. And I've been doing this for 30 years in 80 countries with more than 3 million people in live seminars and more than 50 million people through my books and tapes and so forth. I mean, I'm driven. So at a very early age, I have all these dreams and goals, you know, the science of achievement, what I want to get done. And I found myself unable to get it all done. So I went to a time management course. I don't know if you've suffered through one of these or not, but I did. But it was still worth it because at the end, you know, they gave me this book. In those days, it was paper. That's, you can see how ancient I am. I actually used paper at one stage of my life. And sure enough, I had this paper and you wrote down your to-do list and, you know, what do you need to do? And you gave it an A and B and C priority, you know, and today people go, I don't have time to even come up with the A Bs. What are you talking about? But in those days, I learned this tool and it was great and it worked for a while till I had three companies. And yeah, they weren't even big companies in those days, but all those moving parts, all of a sudden the time management system just destroyed. So I was carrying it around. It was basically a really good looking address book and calendar because I didn't even write all my to-dos down anymore because it was so frustrating. Who wants to look at what you didn't accomplish at the end of the day that you should have done? So I lived in reaction. And then it got so out of control that in order to really be able to produce the results I was committed to, I said, I got to find a better way. There's always going to be more activity than there is time. So what do I got to shift to? And that's where RPM came from. It also came from, frankly, seeing the impact on my relationships that being stressed out was creating. Have you seen any of that in your life? I mean, I remember at one point in my life, I decided I wanted to have a place in Fiji. I was a young kid. I was 24. And I was going to go find a place, a little piece of land. I didn't have any money at that stage, but I was going to find a little piece of land that I could buy that if all heck broke loose, it would be paradise. And I could take my family and friends there. And I had a friend that was very wealthy and he traveled the world. And he literally, I used to play racquetball with him. And he used to, his goal was to see every major island group in the world. So he would go twice a month, go for these vacations, come back and tell me, oh my God, the Seychelles are incredible or Bora Bora is amazing. And I used to think, God, I wish I had the time for that. So he said, just make the time, Tony, go. And then he came back from a place called Fiji. And he said, Tony, this is the most magnificent place of all the islands I've ever been to. And I said, why is it, you know, is it the beauty of the island? He goes, no, you know, there's lots of beautiful places. He said, it's the people. You'll love the people. And he said, look, I found this little piece of land there. And it was like $500,000. And I thought, wow, I could almost, you know, finance that, figure that out and have a piece of paradise. So, you know, my life was all about achievement. So I immediately booked the plane, jumped on, grabbed the lady of my life, said, we're going to Fiji. Oh, not for a vacation. Of course not. Just to achieve something more, right? So sure enough, I'm going to go there and I get there and it's hot and we go to one island, another island, and I'm frustrated and it's not what I want it to be. And I'm stressed out till I got in the water. And it's like, wow, there's a thing called life besides activity. Wow. I mean, it's like, there goes a butterfly. There's like humans here. Like, this is very cool. And so for a short time while I was in the water, I came back to this experience of life and fulfillment instead of this addiction to activity, every moment achieving something. And so finally I left the water and I'm going around and I'm starting to check out different islands, different places. And I remember one morning I got up and I was just going so intensely because I knew I only had another day left to find the perfect piece of land. And I saw this Fijian man. I said, sir, excuse me, what time is it? What time is it? I'll never forget my entire life. This guy, he looked up at the sky, he looked around and he looked at me and he said, daytime. And I thought, oh my God, have I lost it that badly? You know, I mean, and this guy was so happy and I was so stressed out. He said, you know, I meet many Americans. They all come here, you know, and they want to, you know, work very hard continuously every day and night so they can eventually come here and be on the beach. And he said, I just come here and be on the beach. And I thought, somewhere there's got to be a balance here, right? Something's got to change. And so it started to trigger me to look for an answer because what I wanted was some insight. You know what? You can get a mechanical tool, but, you know, we were all told technology was going to change our life and give us all this free time. How's it working for you? It hasn't worked out too well for me. I mean, it's a constant interruption and affects every relationship we have. And I'll tell you something, that's what started to make me say I have to change this. And all I'm trying to do in this introduction to you is to get you associated to two things. One is there is an answer, and it isn't technology. It's not a physical technology. It's not another computer or another phone, you know, iPhone or whatever. I mean, they're all beautiful. I love all these tools and techniques. It's a different way of focusing and organizing your mind and your emotions. It's a different way to prioritize that's very simple and clear. It doesn't take you more time. It'll take you less time to do, but you're going to be more fulfilled. Secondly, I want you to know there is a way to move out of the world of have to the world of get to. That doesn't mean that everything in your life is not you get to. But when you organize it the way we're going to show you, I can promise you there's going to be a change, not just in what you accomplish, but how much you enjoy your life. That's why I call this the time of your life. And the time's going by. You got to enjoy it. And also, it's going to affect your relationships. Because if you're stressed out, you know what it does. In fact, there's a great book that you may have read by Malcolm Gladwell called Tipping Point. And in it, there was an interesting little story about a study that was done at Princeton Theological Seminary. In it, they took 100 seminary students and they interviewed them at different stages to find out insights into what drove them to enter, you know, the ministry, basically. So one of the first questions they asked out of context, because they wanted to see, you know, how people were driven and how it affected the way they preached and just the way they behaved as a whole. And they asked them, did you enter seminary school because you were pursuing personal fulfillment, that you felt this would fulfill you, or did you enter it primarily because you desire to serve others? And they said, you know, obviously everybody wants all these things, but which one really drove you most in your heart of hearts, just out of curiosity? And they asked it in a way that was non-judgmental, and they captured it for each student, for 100 students. And then they gave students an assignment as well. And they said, here's your assignment. We'd like you, if you would, to do one of these three things. They took one group and they said, we want you to read the story of the Good Samaritan, and then we want you to go give a speech on this at a local church. The second group, they said, we want you to do a speech at a local church on the impact of ministers on theology. And then the third group was asked to take any story from the Bible, from the Old Testament or New Testament, and go do a speech on it to this group. But all three are going to do a speech. You say, well, Tony, what's this got to do with me and my time? Yeah, you'll get the payoff. Check this out. Then they did only one thing differently with them. Here's what they did. They said, okay, now that you're organized for your speech, they took out of all three of these groups, they took a group of people and they said, you're late. You've got to go give this speech right now. And they sent them off. They took another group with representatives from all three groups, people that got into the seminary for various reasons, people who were either going to give the Good Samaritan speech or the theological speech or the speech on any of the chapter. And they said to them, you know, you got plenty of time, but you might as well get over to the church so you're there early and you got plenty of room and you won't be stressed out. Then all these people had the same setup. They're sent to a church, and on the steps of the church was a man holding his head, moaning like he was massively injured and in huge pain. So here's my question for you. Which group do you think stopped and helped this man the most or the least? Was it the group that got in the seminary for their own personal fulfillment? Was it the group that got in the seminary to serve others? Or was it a person who just read the Good Samaritan story? Or was it the person who was focused on the impact of the ministry on theology? Or was it the person who got to pick their own story? Invariably, people say, I know who stopped. The people that got in the seminary to serve others, they were the first ones to stop. Nope. Okay, well, the ones that just read the story of the Good Samaritan, I mean, my goodness, you know, it's the classic. The man on the side of the road, you're going to stop and help. Okay, it's the person who got to pick what they were going to speak about because they were probably more connected to themselves. The minister, The only difference between these people was the ones that were told that they were late, only 10% of the people stopped to help this man. Even if they just read the Good Samaritan story, even if they got in the ministry for one reason only, which was to serve others, they stepped over the painful body of this person to go in and give a speech. And it was so obvious. The man is moaning and shaking. And it looks, you know, he's holding his head like something horrific has happened. They just read the story. They're in it to serve people. And they stepped over his body like he was dead in their way. Everybody else on the opposite side, regardless of what category, 67% of those people that were told they had time stopped to help the man. almost 70%. And it didn't matter where they got in the seminary for themselves or to serve others. It didn't matter if they just read the Good Samaritan story or the, you know, doing their speech on the impact of the ministry or whether they picked their own story. It didn't matter. It was all time. The perception of time. The perception of have to versus get to versus want to versus I choose to. We lose completely the sense of what's most important to us in a world that's constantly interrupting us, constantly giving us a false demand that something has to happen now. The beeping of the email, the vibration in your pocket, you've got to stop it. It doesn't matter how good a person you are. It's going to affect your relationships, and relationships are life. Think about it. Your relationship with God, your relationship with yourself, your relationship with those you love, your relationship with your friends, your coworkers. Our relationships determine the quality of our life because relationships are the magnifier of human emotion. If you got great relationships, things get magnified in a great way. If you got lousy relationships, you got pain in your life. And if you don't master time, it'll affect your relationships. Your relationship with yourself, you'll be stressed out. Your relationship with your children, with your loved one, your intimate in your life. Your relationship with even your friends. But if you take control of this in a simple way by learning to ask a couple of questions and break yourself of the addiction to the to-dos and get into what matters most to you now and take your focus and don't let it be interrupted and do what matters most for some segment of your day, you're going to achieve and you're going to be fulfilled and you deserve that. And I'm passionate about it because it works. I'm a passionate man and I'm passionate about this subject, so I hope it doesn't sound over the top, but this is your life. If you don't take control of your time, you're not going to be able to experience anything else. This is the invisible force that shapes us. Think about it. What affects your life most are invisible forces. I don't care if it's radiation or gravity or radio waves or, I mean, most of your life, most of what you are shaped by in your life, most of what's affecting you, you can't even see. And time is one of those invisible forces. And so is emotion. Master those. Take what's invisible and make it visible. Understand what it really is and how to direct it and shape it. And you can have not only freedom, not just results, but fulfillment as well. But I'll tell you one thing. I value more than anything else a life of meaning. And you can't have that when you live in reaction. So I hope I've hooked you. I hope I've hooked you to take care of yourself. I hope I've hooked you to say, I'm not going to just dabble in this. Because that's what most people do. They dabble. They try something an old time or two. And I hope that, you know, I'm not going to hold anything back in this system, but in these two pieces I'm going to give you, teaching you this RPM system on the audio, like what are the questions? What is it that'll change the way you think and feel and give you control back? And then on the DVD, I'm going to walk you through the skill called chunking. I did this actually for a really unique and elite group of people that I work with called our Platinum Partners. So instead of a giant audience of, you know, 2,000 or 10,000 people, we're able to interact. And we took their real lives and started to figure out how to really manage it. Now, these are all people that run one or more businesses. They're entrepreneurs. They're very successful financially, and yet they're stressed out. So in the midst of this, I said, let's just give you a couple of tools that can immediately help you get out of that stress, take back control. And chunking is that skill. Chunking is the skill of how to take a lot and turn it into a little by organizing it in a very different way, by organizing how you attack it, by organizing your focus. It really provides a tremendous sense of freedom, and it's so simple. So you'll have that on the DVD. So make sure, don't just listen to the audio, go to the DVD as well. So this is about three things. One, taking control of your life, getting out of overwhelm. Two, getting the result you're really after, getting what you want, not just getting the activity done, not just reacting to people, but getting what you really want. And then thirdly, getting fulfilled. Getting a sense of meaning out of your day and out of your moments and out of all this, you know, deluge of information and activity and interaction, turning that, you know, communication soup into a feast called your life. Are you up for it? I know I sound like there's a lot here, but I'm going to break it down to three questions and a couple of tools. But my hope is I want to enroll you in the gift of mastering your life, not just dabbling. And I'm using this, reaching out to you through this audio medium to try and reach inside of you and say, please don't settle. You deserve more. Don't let the world of reaction take control of you. Don't let interruption be the driver in your life. You can have plenty of that in your life, and there's excitement to that too, but give yourself a core. That's what I want to deliver for you here. So enough talk about the why. Let's talk about the how now. And I'll have you join me at a live seminar at Life Mastery with some people in Hawaii, and we'll walk through the process of how do you take back control. What are the questions that can help us to shape our thinking process And therefore, the way we interact with time and the amount we achieve, and most importantly, the amount we're fulfilled. Begin this audio after this. If you've got time today, or you'll do it another time tomorrow, go to the DVD on chunking, and then hopefully I'll have a chance someday to meet you and hear about how it's changed your life. I can't tell you how many people have come up to me and say, my God, I got my life back, or I'm so fulfilled. I got time with my wife or my family, or you know, I'm able to have time to find a wife or a husband or something because I got some time to have some juice left in my life because I'm not exhausted from my day anymore. But it really comes from a couple of principles. So let's get started with RPM. I want to share with you a tool that, if you ask me, other than my sense of love and caring and passion, my intensity, my emotion, what has been the single most important tool in my life to create what I have in my life that I value? Whether it be the impact I've been able to have in raising my children, whether it be the companies that I've created, whether it be the opportunity to be with you up here now, there is one tool above all others that has made that possible for me. And that is the capacity to take my visions and turn them into reality. And I've done it with a system of thinking, not a time management system. I'm not a believer in time management because I know you can do everything in terms of managing your time, manage it perfectly, arrive everywhere at the right moment, do it at the exact time you said you're going to do it, and not accomplish anything that is meaningful. My goal in life is not to manage time. My goal in life is to have a life that is absolutely fulfilling, which means a life that is always growing and contributing, not only to myself, but to my community. And my community, for me, is ever expanding. It's the world. So in order to do that, I have developed a system. And over the years, I didn't share it with anybody. I developed it out of necessity. I developed it because my vision was so large that every time I started to go to try and make that vision a reality, I would develop the tools, the abilities to make it happen. And as soon as I hit that, my vision got bigger. So, you know, when I first started out, my vision was, how do I make myself actually happy? How do I get myself so that I feel energetic? How do I get myself fit? And so I'd focus on that and I'd develop it. But every time you achieve a vision, it expands your vision for what else you can accomplish, what else you can give, whatever else you can create. So now my body was fit, so now I wanted to really have a greater relationship. I want a greater emotional well-being. And then that expanded. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I want to economically, I want to do well. I don't want to suffer. And then it was not, I don't want to suffer, it's I want to do well. Then it was, I want to be successful. Then it was, my gosh, you know, what do I do with all this? How do I make this happen? What can I do that contributes on a larger scale? Because I have so many of those choices. So your vision's always expanding. Oh, I created this company, it's doing it. What else can I create? And so what I want to talk to you about is not what most people call it planning. I call it the process of creation. Because if you can understand how to create what's inside of you into reality, you have a skill set that makes you a leader. But that requires a system of thinking that allows you to maximize your ability. My whole life is dedicated to being a strategist. I live for that process of understanding what I call profound knowledge. Any distinction, any idea, any understanding, any insight that the minute you have it, you can immediately change the quality of your life or anybody else's. I live for that. I'm looking for it every moment. I take notes like a banshee. I'm constantly obsessed by finding that because I know those are the gifts that change people's lives. But I try to find a way to use it systematically, strategically, and consistently. Many people know what to do, but they don't have a system that gets them to do it on a regular basis, and therefore they don't actually experience the value of what's available within themselves. So the other day, for example, by just showing you these four parts of yourself, archetypes, and saying, here's a systematic way, just change and ask the same question of a different part of you. Change the system of what you're accessing, and all of you in this room who've done it know you get a radical change. Or the system I've taught you in the triad, that is, changing the systematic way you use your physiology, changing the systematic way you focus on things by changing the questions you ask yourself, changing the language you use. These are systematic ways, and when you have a system, it allows you to, how often can you produce a result once you figure out the system? How often can you do it? Every time. I'd like to show you a vision, or a system, I should say, that can take any vision and turn it into reality by getting you to use the resources inside of you. If you think of this as merely a little time management tool, then you'll stick with your little Palm Pilot or whatever it is you've been trained to use forever, and you'll do what people have been doing for 150 years. You'll ask the same questions, you'll think the same way, and you'll maximize whatever that system will give you, which is a very limited return. Because the world's changed radically from the times in which we did that. How many of you have some kind of planner that you use, either electronic or something physical you carry with you on a regular basis? Let me see your hands. Look around the room. virtually everybody. Now, that wasn't always true. Why is that true today? Because today, there are so many things you can focus on. There are so many demands for your attention today that if you don't decide in advance what you're going to focus on, you're going to definitely be controlled by everybody else's focus. The media every single day is trying to get your focus because the media lives not off information but off advertising. And so they need your attention to survive, and they'll do anything. And we've seen over the last 10 or 15 years, the media has become much more intense in what it offers us, hasn't it? Much more violent, much more sexual, much more anything, because it's hard to get our attention now because everything's trying to get our attention. So now they got to go to greater extremes to get our attention today. I'm talking about taking back that control of focus by learning to ask three questions in a specific sequence on a consistent basis in your life. And then if you want to make this system a part of your life, you don't just ask it, you get a way, a physical thing you do as a ritual, so these questions become embedded in you, and so you capture the answers not in your head. Because how many of you ask questions all the time in your head and you kind of loop, like you get the answer and then you ask another question, and then you ask another one, and pretty soon you don't go anywhere. How many have been there? Say I. So the value of either a computer device as a capturing device or paper as a capturing device is critical so that the system of thinking can be organized and structured so you're not trying to manage it all in your head. I used to not teach any of this to anybody. I did it. I built my companies because as I did it, I just thought, this is my way of thinking, and I hadn't figured out how I was doing it 100%. Then maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, I was doing a life mastery like this, and it was the same night, and it was about 10 o'clock at night, and somebody asked me a question, and they were suffering so much, and I thought, you know what, they got all this great emotional stuff, they got all this great physical stuff, they got better things for their relationship, they have all these tools, but they're going to go home and get overwhelmed, because they're not going to know where to start. You know, I can already see they're overwhelmed. Or they're going to have an idea where to start, but they're not going to maximize their ability. And this guy asked me this question. I knew the answer. So I said, well, let me tell you what I do. And that launched into a 7-hour conversation that lasted about 4:30 in the morning. People were hanging in there. You know, I was like, look! And I was so passionate about it that I kept people in the room. But basically, you know, the next morning, I'm sure they crawled out of the room thinking, yeah, I should figure that out someday. And so then through the years, for the first couple of years, I would start to teach it here, and I give it like a few hours here and a few hours there. And gradually, I decided, you know what, I'm going to implement it at my company. And when I did, at the main company, Robbins Research, we doubled our profitability in less than 12 months. And within 2 years, we doubled again. But more importantly, I wasn't driving the company anymore. It was like I didn't have to be there when making all the decisions. How many of you have a company right now where you're not being there troubles you because you know that when you're gone for a week like this, that things definitely need your attention when you get home? How many got that experience? Let me see your hands. Then what happens is you have a highly paid job. Now, I'm not being disrespectful anyway because that's what I had too. If you're being away for a week actually affects that business that much, then you really are still employed. It's just you're employed to the people that you're now employing. And so the way out of that trap is to be able to take a vision, which I would call a specific measurable result, in a term we're going to teach you, which is called RPM, the RPM planning system, which stands for rapid planning method. In the beginning, it's much slower to do what we're going to teach you. The reason it's slower is if I do a little exercise and have you write your name out, sign it 10 times, and we time each time how many seconds it takes, then I have you write your name but skip every other letter, write half as much, and we time you, you'll take an average of 50% longer to write half as many letters the first 6 or 7 times you do it. Then by the time you get to the 10th time you do it, you usually do it in a third the time, even though we only cut out half the letters. So that doesn't make any sense mathematically. I can demonstrate it for you again and again. The brain learns certain things, and then it makes intuitive leaps. But in the beginning, this will be slower, which is why most of you probably won't do this unless you really tonight get a vision for what this can mean for you. The process I'm going to teach you is the ability to answer three questions systematically that every leader has the answer to. And that is this. Every leader has the ability to answer the first question, which is, what is it we really want here? What do you want? What is the outcome we're after? What is your vision? What is the specific result that you're committed to achieving? Human beings have the capacity to achieve anything they can envision. Anything. If you can conceive it, and if you can believe it, as we've always heard in those books from way back in the past, you can what? Achieve it. How many believe that anything human beings can envision and focus on, they can turn into reality? I'm curious. And if you don't believe it, don't say so. But if you really believe it, say I. then the secret is to get that vision to be specific enough that your brain has the capacity to make it real. It's very difficult to achieve something general. When you ask people, what do they want? What do most people answer? The general population, what do they say? I don't know. Well, if you don't know, your chances of achieving it are slim and none, probably none, unless you're lucky and you bump into something. But most people don't ask in life, what do I want? The question people ask when they're planning is, what do I need to, what's that? Do. Now, if you ask the question, what do I need to do? You are now a follower and not a leader. Because what's going to happen is what you need to do is going to be based on the stimulus of the environment you're in. If somebody's in front of you, they're going to tell you what they need you to do. And then what you become is an automaton who follows. Now, don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean you can't take feedback or be coached by people. But in every organization, people have the ability now to think for themselves, to see what things mean, to adjust to it. But they also have an emotional quality and a spiritual quality. Well, RPM, the Rapid Planning Method, is really a results-focused, purpose-driven, massive action plan. We call it the Rapid Planning Method, but those RPMs stand for the three questions. Having a result you're totally focused on, because whatever you focus on continuously, you will get to, if you do not let go of your focus. You got to have a purpose that will move you emotionally, because without enough emotion, you can have this great goal, this target, you can be thinking about it, but it's the emotion that moves you to take action. We are emotional creatures. We want just enough information so that we can now take our emotion and do something with it. And we've all witnessed this week. We've seen people take events and convert them into emotion. That's what we do as human beings. And those emotions, whichever ones we pick, are going to determine what we do. If you're apathetic as your emotion, then you're going to ignore things. If you're enraged, you're going to do another thing. If you're hurt, if you feel sad, if you feel excited, if you have a sense of inspiration, if you have a hunger to contribute, whatever the emotion is, excitement, hurt, passion, love, anger, frustration, joy, depression, whatever emotions inside you is what's going to determine where you go. So if you're going to try and plan your life in a planner of any sort, and the planning you're doing is starting out by asking the question, what do I need to do? You have no life. You have an activity list that you're always pursuing. And even if you achieve them all, you're going to mistake movement for achievement, and you'll know it's not achievement because at the end of the day, you're going to know, how come I still don't feel so fulfilled? You can't have a plan for your day until you have a plan for your life. And what RPM planning is creating a life plan, a company plan, a division plan, a department plan, a family plan, a plan that is larger, because I don't know what I want to do until I first figure out what it is I want. If you want to be president of the United States, then you plan on doing something very different than if you want to manage the local business. If you want to just kick back and relax and be able to do the least possible, what you're going to do is very different than if you're trying to maximize your contribution in this life. There's no right or wrong. Only you can decide what you want. But if you try to ask, what should I do, before you first ask, what do I want, you'll always be frustrated and you'll always be unfulfilled. So RPM planning is really a system of thinking that allows you to maximize your results, because it gets you so focused on what you want, not focused on what to do. If you focus on what to do, there's a lot of stuff you'll never even begin if you realize how much you got to do. How many have thought of things at times you thought, yeah, well, I kind of like to do that, but God, look at all I got to do. The more you focus on what you got to do, the less likely you're going to follow through. That's why if I had you here in this room, and I do this all the time, does anybody have their planner with them that they use every day? Anybody got a planner with them? Great. So here's a planner. Now, if I turn to this man's planner and I open it up, and in it he has a calendar, which is very useful. And if I turn to a day, any day he's got, I can see any days that have passed here, because he's got past months in here. And in most days you'll see there's a great deal of planning going on. Okay, here's one. Here's one day with some planning. I found one. So I go through these days, and most days there's nothing here. And yet he's carrying it with him, even here in class. Okay? Now I find one here. Here's one, and it's got some phone calls on it. 1, 2, 3, about 10 items. And most of them are checked off on this day. It's a very good day. Here's another day, nothing checked off. Here's another day. This one's got a lot of checks in it, and some points and some elements. And it's got things like ring Phil Jones, check for trust appointment, do something for the Sprockets, something for photos, jab compliance post, compare this, bid amendment, tire puncture, handbrake. It goes through all these different elements. All these things you see here are activities. Now, these activities are not related to any specific outcome. How many follow this? Now, these activities probably need to get done, probably, until you decide what you want to do. See, most of what I do today, I do so little of what I used to do. Because what I start asking myself is not what I want to do, what do I want? What specifically do I want to achieve, to create, to produce? And I didn't just ask it in a general question. I asked it in areas of my life that matter the most. What is it I really want to produce? What's my vision for this business? What's my vision for my children? What's my vision for my body? What's my vision for my family? What's the vision for my emotions? What's my vision for my financial life? What is it I want? What specific measurable result do I want? This book may have a page like there somewhere in it, but this book is an activity manager. If you're an activity manager, you're going to be unfulfilled. And you will not maximize results either. You must become a results leader. A results manager is a minimum. But a leader is someone who can always answer the question, what is it you really want from this situation, from this day, from this week, from this month? What do you want? Now, you can get more than that, but if you don't start with what you want, your chance of getting it is slim and none. That's the R in RPM. It's a results focus. It's not an activity focus. And just by changing that focus alone, you will shift the ability to achieve. I'll give you an example. Have you ever been caught up in an argument and you forget what you're arguing for, but you know you have to win? How many have been there? Say, I. If in the middle of that argument, all you did was ask this question, in the middle of the argument, because the argument is all about activity, isn't it? Back and forth, reaction. That's what activity is, reaction. If you would ask yourself in the middle of the argument, what's my outcome? What result do I want to come out of this conversation? Your brain would probably say, well, my outcome isn't to fight. My outcome, the result I want, is I want us to align and move together in something we both feel good about. The minute you determine that's the result you want and you can make it that specific, I guarantee you your brain will come up with a new action list, a new to-do list about what to say next, about how to interact, about how to even move with this person. So if I had one goal on earth, it would be to burn every to-do planner that exists on earth, because these are systematically getting you to think in a way that will make you not only not productive, activity-driven, but worse, unfulfilled. RPM is simply a system of thinking that will cause you to consistently produce the maximum result with a maximum amount of fulfillment, because it's going to be about what you want, that you have self-determined your vision, and you're going to do that on a regular basis. If you keep asking all the time what you want, what you want, what you want, you're going to get better and better and better answers. And by the way, what you focus on, you move towards. I give you a metaphor that I use often is when I went to racing school for the very first time years ago. I went to this racing school, and the owner of the school is a great guy. His name is Bob Bondurant. That's the first school I went to. I've been to many since then. But he's a great guy. And Bob and I are both helicopter pilots. So he lets me fly my helicopter to the place I land, and I think I can do some really cool things in a helicopter. I said, I don't know if racing, you know, in a car is going to be that cool, because, you know, I could take my helicopter and take it right down, right along the edge of the waves as it's crashing, and I lift it up just as it's going under it. I flip it upside down. It's like having your own roller coaster. Take people and fly them upside down and move them around. I mean, people freak out. It's a lot of fun. It really juices you. So I'm thinking, and I love helicopter surfing. You go right down there and surf. The other surfers don't like it, but I like it a lot. But what happens is he gets me. He says, well, I think you're going to kind of like a car. How about I give you a little ride first, and we'll see if you think it's worth your time. So he takes me in this car on a ride that I will never forget. I mean, I didn't know a car could stay up at that kind of snapping at speed. And at the end, my heart's pounding me, and I'm sold. I want to do this. And at the same time, he says, by the end of 4 days, you will be doing this. And I'm thinking, I'm a positive guy, and you're full of crap. I mean, 4 days to do this? What he did with the car was unbelievable. He said, you'll do it in 4 days. I said, all right. He said, but here's why you'll be able to do it. Right now, you don't believe you can do it because there's some part of you that knows that you could get out of control, and your mind is going there already, even now. When you were in the car with me, you were thinking about what could happen to us. And he said, Tony, as long as you're thinking about what could happen to us, you'll make that happen. He said, I'm going to put you in a spin car. That's what we do with everybody. Here's the secret to becoming a great driver. You must already anticipate what the problems were and be able to handle them in advance so that when you're driving, you can forget about them. And if it happens, you deal with it in that moment. And he said, here's the secret. The secret is when you go into a spin, and you're going to go into spin, if you're the best driver on earth, you're going to hit a spin because it's not just you. There are other drivers around you. Somebody's going to spill some oil on the track. The car's going to crash in front of you. Something's going to happen beyond your control. Does that sound a little bit like life? And he said, when that happens, you're going to go into a spin. And when you go into spin, the secret, there's one secret to making things work and surviving and, more importantly, succeeding. He says, one thing and one thing only. Focus on where you want to go, not on what you fear. So, and this is, by the way, exactly what happens in life. We all go into spin in life, right? You go into a spin because somebody you care about gets, you know, a life-threatening disease, and it puts a spin on your life. Everything now seems out of control. Or somebody comes to you and says, I think we should separate. You can get in a spin. Or you think in your head, you should separate or this is not right. And it throws you into spin. Or the economy changes or whatever. Got to focus on what you want. So I get in the car and he says, here's how we're going to teach you this. We're going to put you in the spin car. There'll be a man sitting next to you. He is going to have a little box that you can't see. And on it, there are four buttons. They approach to one of the four wheels. They relate to one of the four wheels. You're going to go around the track. And at some point, when you least suspect it, he's going to push one of those buttons. It'll lift up that wheel and you will spin out of control in that direction. He said, the minute that happens, focus on where you want to go, because wherever you focus is where your eyes will go, is where your body will go. That's where you'll steer. It's kind of like if you've ever heard about a person who's in like in a Porsche and they're on a country road and they're going 100 miles an hour and there's one telephone pole every quarter of a mile and they lose control and they manage to hit the one telephone pole. How do they do that? Because they got the control and they go, oh, I don't want to hit that. And they literally focus and drive right into it. So you get in this car, and he said, you prepared, remember what to do. So I get in the car, I'm driving around, and I'm ready. I'm ready. Drive around, I'm ready. Drive around, I'm ready. I am absolutely ready for this. Well, of course, it never happens in life when you're ready. So sure enough, finally, when I just lose a little bit of concentration, he pushes the button, we start to spin out of control, and we're going right for the wall. Right for the wall. And of course, I'm staring at what's going to kill me. Fortunately, right, he knows what to do, so he grabs my head and shoves it to the left where we've got to turn. Now, I'm fighting him because I want to see the death happen. Right? But he keeps holding me. And by the way, as I look here, what do I unconsciously? Steer where I'm looking. So I'm still fighting. I'm fighting, fighting. Now, what happens is I'm doing the right thing. But does that immediately make the car go in the right direction? Yes or no? No, because you have a thing called momentum. Right? So I'm doing the right thing. And people say to me, well, gosh, you know, I've been drinking green drink for 2 days now and I haven't lost the 35 pounds. Well, how long have you been eating like a pig? 15 years? Maybe it'll take a week to get some momentum here for you, right? So the bottom line is you're doing the right thing. That's how life is. You do the right thing. You don't immediately get rewarded because you've been doing the wrong thing for a while, right? So I'm hanging on, and I'm fighting, fighting, fighting. And sure enough, we're getting closer, closer, closer. And the last second, literally maybe 2 feet from the wall, and I don't think I'm exaggerating, the wheels catch, and we turn. And my heart is beating out of me. So the instructor has me stop. I'm shaking. I got adrenaline everywhere. He goes, did you learn? I said, I learned. Right? We get back out. We drive. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. Minute I'm not ready. Push the buttons. Sure enough, I look right at the wall again. Grabs my head, shoves it, right? Same thing. Last few seconds, boom, we turn. And he doesn't even freak out even though about 2 feet from it because he knows by experience how much momentum there is. And he doesn't get fearful. He just focuses with me where we need to go. He doesn't even look at the wall. Interesting. He has faith. He's taking action. He just doesn't have blind faith. He's taking action based on knowing. So the bottom line is, after third or fourth time, we start spinning. I just start looking, man. I just look. Now, here's the question. If you focus where you want to go, are you guaranteed not to hit the wall? Yes or no? Yes or no? No. But if you focus on the wall, are you guaranteed to hit it? So you've got to focus on exactly what it is you want if you want to achieve it. If you're ever going to achieve it, that's got to be your focus. Now, you do need to know what the limitations are, what the concerns are, and be prepared for them. But once you're prepared, your whole focus has got to be on making it work. Because if there's any ounce that you pull back here, that ounce is going to pull you in the direction you don't want to go. So that's why in RPM planning, the first question we're always asking is, what do I really want? What's my outcome? And then we get down to what it really is. What's the specific measurable result? Because if I said to you, what do you want? You might say, well, I want to lose some weight. What's your outcome? You know? I want to lose some weight. So I'll say, okay, you want to lose some weight. What's the specific measurable result you're committed to? Because lose some weight, you can lose a pound, you've achieved your goal. People say all the time, what do you want? Some more money. Here's a dollar, get out of here. Most people are achieving their outcomes. They just don't realize their outcomes are so general that they're achieving them. You got to get specific. That's why we use the word result. specific measurable results. You start out with a broad question, like, what do I want out of this day? What's the most important thing I want to achieve today? What's the most important outcome I want today, this week, this month, for my kids, for me, for whatever? And then you finally get it down to what's the specific result. A results focus will produce results. It's that simple. If you work talking generalities, if you focus on what to do, you'll have more to do. How many want less to do and more results? Say I. Then you must train yourself. And the problem is, if you're a planner, the first thing it has is what to do. You can intellectually all day long think about, oh, what do I want? But you're going to get pulled right back into doing again because you got a system that makes you do it. Now, that system worked fine when you had like one identity in life, like you were a farmer, you know, or a farmer and a father, or a mother and a homemaker. But today, what are people? They're mothers. They're activists in the community. They're trying to be the greatest lover. They're trying to make sure that they have their own sense of identity. They're trying to mind nine different things at once in our lives. We may have a higher expectation for what we want in our lives, more demands than we've ever had, and we're using a system developed 150 years ago. I mean, you wouldn't send a message today by carrier pigeon, but that's how people try to communicate with their own mind, by asking totally ineffective questions and then institutionalizing it by having a system. And since the system doesn't work 90% of the time, there's nothing here. The second thing all leaders know is you got to know your purpose. That's the P in RPM planning. What is your purpose? Because it's great that you want this, but unless you have enough emotion of why you're going to make it happen, you'll get excited about it. You'll do it for a short time, but then you're going to run up against obstacles. Anytime you come up with something you want, a goal, a desire, and you get specific about it, challenges are going to come up. That's part of the nature of it. If there weren't any challenges, you'd already have it. When the challenge comes up, now you have to have enough emotion to push yourself through that obstacle, to either put the persistence in place, the flexibility, the creativity, something that makes you maximize your ability as a human being. And it's always emotion. And here's what you got to know. People who achieve things have a strong enough reason. The guy who created Morse code. Why did he do this? Because he lost his wife and he realized if he would have had a message, if he would have known, he could have got there in time to be with her. So it developed an emotional drive and he developed an outcome, didn't he? He wanted to develop a specific way that a message could get to someone in seconds, in minutes, no matter where they were in the country. He knew his outcome and he had enough what? Purpose. Purpose equals power. The more powerful your purpose, the easier it is to achieve your outcome if you know what it is. If you know what you want and you got a strong enough purpose, strong enough reason, strong enough emotion, you'll get it. You'll find the way. You'll either find the way or you'll make the way. You'll create the way. And that's true of any human endeavor. But most of us, what we think about as planning is an anal process of sitting down and coming up with what to do, or strategic planning is even worse. Like in a company, usually strategic planning, a few people do for the whole company, and nobody else even looks at the thing. They spend weeks or months, they hire an outside consulting firm to come in and put the plan together, so no one's vested in it, there's no emotion, so rarely does it really get implemented. If you want something to be real, people got to come together, and you got to everybody agree, this is the outcome we want. These are the three. Here's why it's critical for us. This is why we want this. So the questions we ask when we get to this is, once we know what we want, the next question is obvious. Why is this a must for me? Why is this a must for us if we're planning together? Why is this a must for me? Why do I want to do this, to achieve this? Is there a difference in asking, why do I have to do this versus what do I want to do this? Does that change the way you feel just by changing a word, yes or no? What you're going to find is one of the most important principles in creating, and that's my word for planning, because for most people, they make a plan, they never follow it, so it doesn't get results. So I'm into creating. I'll interchange the words planning and creating because my idea of planning is to create something that's alive, that is so clear in terms of its target and so emotional that people can figure out how to do it because they got the target clear in the mind and they got the energy to make it happen. My experience is you get the first two, you can figure out the third step easily. But you got to have that purpose. You got to have that drive. So the questions we're asking is, why do I want to do this? What will this give me? Why is this a must for me? If it's a group of people, you're going to find something. You're going to find that everybody's got their reasons. And instead of trying to get them to do things for your reasons, the power of this type of planning or creating is, we all agree on the outcome, but we can do it for different reasons. And if you try to make people do it for your reasons, they may not be inspired. But if you can find out what will juice them to get that outcome, now you've got a group of people who are very different that will produce together a result that is the same. because they're doing it for their reasons. And I'll give you a clue. Everybody's got their reasons, and we have their own code words for them. Like for me, if I think something can have a significant impact, those words, significant impact, or just even the word impact, that word juices me. If I attach that in my mind to an activity, I will put it on an enormous amount of energy. That's just me. I know that about myself, so I use it in all my planning, which I call creating. I'll link it in. That's one of the trigger words. So for example, today to me was a day about impact. Impacting the lives of people in an entire community, an entire island. Not just the ones here, this community as well. Because I know this community, if they get a sense of giving impact to others, it'll have an impact on them, and many of them will go home and have a bigger impact. So of course I had to do this day. There was no question about this day. I had to evaluate this day because I changed Life Mastery and took a day out and said, what's most important? I thought, you can't take this day out. This is a day of total impact. Because I linked that, I got to do that. Now, if I thought this was an exercise and just people being loving, love is a very powerful emotion for me, but love can sometimes be shared in many ways, some of which are impactful, some of which are not. So for me, love is an add word, but by itself, in the context of learning something, I think that's really valuable. But if I can put love and impact together, now it's really juicy. And I go, wow, this is impact where people are going to feel love. They're going to experience it. Now it's got to be done. The reason I'm telling you this is not this is what will drive you. I'm saying you got to find out what are those words, those trigger points that make you crazy. Because once you know what they are and you link them to what it is you want to achieve, what you want to achieve will come to reality. Because you will harness a level of energy in yourself that you've never harnessed before and have an impact or a result, is my word, right? A result that will juice you and excite you. But you got to find it. And tonight we're going to experiment a little bit with that just to get you introduced to the concept. And you'll be able to see that when you do certain things, it's because you've linked a certain thought or focus or emotion to it and there are words you use. And when there are times you don't follow through, I guarantee you use different words to describe the activity in your mind or the result. And as a result, those words change your biochemistry, and they change the way you play. And I don't know about you, but I'm through a million planning courses because early on, I wanted to achieve so much, so I went to every time management course I could. And they're all really valuable, but they maxed out about the time I was running two companies and having four children. I mean, at that point, it was like, this isn't doing anything. I had a book that half the pages weren't ever used. I was carrying it around religiously, though, because at least I had my calendar in there, and I had my pictures in there, and a few goals and some sheets I'd write down every now and then on, and on my calendar, and I had my credit cards. So I carried it everywhere, but it was a fancy big wallet, and it was not helping me to get results, and I was overwhelmed. That's when I began to realize this system has maximized itself. There's got to be a larger system. What do I need to focus on? Focus is power. Where do I get the emotion to follow through? Answer is all thinking is controlled by the what you ask yourself. The what? All day long, all you're doing is thinking. Thinking is the process of asking and answering questions. Whatever response you have to what I just said, if I say thinking is the process of asking and answering questions and you go, no, it's not. If you just say, no, it's not, you got to ask yourself, is this true? And you're like, oh, that makes sense. How'd you come up with that? Unconsciously, you ask, does this make sense? One time I was asking myself, I thought, what is thinking? I said, what is thinking? What am I doing right now? Those are questions, aren't they? I thought, is thinking really nothing but the process of asking questions? I thought, that was a question too, wasn't it? I thought, well, not all thinking is a question, is it? So you can say things, but to think, you have to ask. You have to initiate, and then you get responses. Just like communication is triggered, not just by sharing, but when the sharing happens, somebody asks a question about that sharing in their head, and that gives them a responsiveness. Learning to direct your own mind is learning to direct the questions you habitually ask yourself. And I don't know about you, but I've never been through a time management training where they taught me specifically the power of my words to completely change whether I'll follow through on a plan or not. You will learn that here. You will know the difference between the plans you've made and followed through on and the plans you've made and never even thought about again and the plans you made and felt guilty about. You'll learn the difference in this context between what is it that made you so powerful in one situation and so weak in another. That's because we don't want to just talk about planning. It is planning, but it is creating a vision and turning it into reality. That's what RPM is. And that's fulfilling. So if you know your purpose, if you know your reasons, if you know what's going to trigger you, you finally need the third question to be able to answer. And all leaders can tell you. They can tell you what it is their vision is, what it is they want. All successful people can do that. I've never met a successful person and you said, what do you really want for this business? What do you really want for your life? And they go, I don't know. You won't find that from a successful person. Secondly, they can tell you why it's a must for them, why they want it, their purpose, because that's why they do it. If you're not passionate, it's because you're not doing what you want and you don't know why you're doing it. In fact, the only difference between work and play is a purpose that empowers you and that you enjoy. That's the only difference. Think about it. Work is activity without a purpose, without a purpose you've attached to it. Somebody else may have a purpose for it, but it's not your reasons. You're doing it because you got to do it. You're doing it because someone wants you to. You're doing it because it's on your to-do list. When it's play for you, how many of you love your work enormously and work harder than most people do when they play? And people go, why do you do this? And you go, I love it. It doesn't work for you. It's play. You enjoy it because you have a sense of purpose. You have the emotion about it. People see me all the time, you know, like, how do you remember all this stuff? You know, you don't seem to have any notes. You're on stage for 12 or 14 hours, and you seem to go, go, go. And at the end of the day, you get a lot of energy. It's because I'm doing what I love, because this is play. This is not work. If I was work, I'd make the day a lot shorter, a lot easier for you and for me. You go, some days I wish this was work for you, Robbins. Right? But play. It's enjoyable because there's a purpose. Activity without purpose is the drain to a life of fulfillment. Activity without purpose is a drain to your financial future. Anything you're doing activity-wise that you cannot tell me specifically why you're doing this and what the result is of it is draining you. Now, don't get me wrong. If you want to just do something to distract yourself, you have that ability. But gosh, life will do that for you anyway. Most people are answering the question, what should I do? And they're basing it upon one of three stimuli. Either A, they're focused on what to do because someone else is making a demand on them. So they're reacting to the people around them. And if you always are responding to people around you, what you're going to do is everybody else is going to probably be happy with you at times or unhappy with you, but you have a life that's in reaction. It's not a life by design. But I want to hook you to go for more, because if I said to you, I know a man whose life is really juicy and exciting, he's achieved an enormous amount, he's become extremely wealthy in financial terms and even more wealthy in emotional and spiritual terms, and he's living his vision, and I could tell you that he could tell you exactly the systematic way he did it, and he's willing to tell it to you if only you promise to use it, how many would want to learn this, would make such a promise? Say, I. Well, I am, and I'm him. Okay? So if you use it to its maximum, you will be blown away. If you take it in your company, you will transform it. If you take it in your own personal life, it'll transform. So, purpose is power. The questions you know are what? Why do I want this? Why is this so important to me? Why is this a must for me? How will I enjoy this? Here's the M in RPM. The M is a map, a massive action plan. Once you know exactly what it is you want, once you're absolutely clear in your mind in terms of your purpose, like why this is a must for you, what juices you, why you want to do this, then you need the M. You need a map, a massive action plan. Why a massive action plan? Because small plans don't produce any result. How many of you have ever set a goal, been juiced about it, had gone for it, and your plan miserably failed? So our goal is not to be anal. Our goal is to create a map with so many choices that if one doesn't work, another one will, another one will. Because if you try something that doesn't work and you don't have another plan, basically you lose all momentum. So our goal is to brainstorm out as many ways as possible to get that result in the shortest period of time, but so it's more like art. So now I can make it this way, this way, this way, or this way. I can try it many different ways. And think of a map as being like this. A map is the way you navigate from where you are to where you want to go. Now, if you got a map, you got some power. But for the map to be valuable, you got to know two answers. Number one, you got to know where do you want to go. If you go to the map and you don't know where you want to go, the map is worthless. The second thing you got to know is where are you? If you don't know where you are and you know where you want to go, you're not going to navigate accurately. What RPMs do, they help you understand where you are, where you want to go, get the fuel to get you there, and give you a map, a plan, an action system to make it work. That's what this is about. So the question you're going to ask yourself is, what specific action do I need to take in order to get this result I'm committed to? What specific action do I need to take in order to get the result I'm committed to? Now, you don't say general. So for example, if someone says, my outcome is I want to lose some weight. The problem with that is it's not specific result. That's why it's RPM, not, you know, what do you want? It's not WPM, right? Whip them, right? So you've got to get it specific. Now they say, okay, I want to lose 12 pounds. That's wonderful, but how come you've not done that in the past? Because you haven't marshaled enough reasons. Reasons come first, answers come second. Get strong enough reasons, you can figure out big enough why to do something, you can figure out how to do anything. So this time, take the extra time to figure out why. This is the part people don't do in the beginning, because they go, oh, it takes time to write down these reasons and think about them. Let me just write my list. Well, writing your list without knowing your reasons is a guaranteed way to make sure that whatever you do is not sustainable. The emotion makes it sustainable, okay? So you got to make sure you come up with that aspect. Then you come up with what the actions are. What specific actions are you going to take to make this happen? So you say, okay, I want to lose 12 pounds, and the reason is, and there are going to be lots of reasons, because I'm sick and tired of no longer being able to fit in that chair where I sit down with my kid, because I want to feel sexy, because I want the juice of feeling fully alive. Whatever the reasons are for you, they're different for everybody, but if you get a juicy enough reason, strong enough reason, now when you ask, what should I do? Now's the time to ask that. What specifically should I do to achieve this, having this emotion? For example, if you're angry, if you are excited, if you are energized, any of those emotions, will you come up with a different quality of to-do list than if you're planning? Yes or no?
Yes.
You better believe it. Or tired or overwhelmed. Will it change you? Yes or no?
Yes.
So that's why the sequence of these is so critical. If you start out with what to do, I guarantee you're not going to experience what it is you want. So it's kind of like if you know the right numbers to someone's phone number and you dial them in the wrong order, I don't care that you have the right information. You're not going to maximize the result. You're not going to reach them. If you know the vault and you know the numbers in the wrong order, you're not going to open up all the juice you're after. This is the way you do it, and all successful people can tell you the answer to three questions. What are they? What is it you really want? What specific result are you committed to achieving? Secondly, why do you want it? What's your purpose? What's the reason that'll make this something you want to do, you will do, you find a way? And thirdly, what's your massive action plan? What specific actions will you take to achieve this? If you can answer those three questions, you do nothing else, I guarantee you can achieve things you never achieved before. In fact, if you can do the first two, you'll achieve more than 90% of the people around you. How many of you in this room have ever had something you got focused on, a specific vision, a goal, a desire, and you were so focused on it. You focused on it every day because you were excited about it and you had a lot of emotion about it. Something really juiced you up. You had no clue how you're going to achieve it, and stuff just started to happen. Like you meet somebody or something came together or your brain came up with an idea, and before you knew it, this thing you wrote down was now a reality. How many have done this before in your life? Say I. Then all of you here are people that use RPM. You've done RPM anytime you've succeeded. You shouldn't call it that. A results-focused, purpose-driven, massive action plan. The rapid planning method, because slow in the beginning, pretty soon gets fast. Because when you start focusing on the outcome, the result, and you have enough emotion, you'll get there 10 times faster than if you just have a plan for something that you need to do. If the emotion speeds it up, knowing the target. Think about it. If you know the exact target, and you have the force and the energy to send into it, now it's only a matter of time between which activity is going to hit that target. But if you don't have a target and you don't have a lot of energy and you start throwing arrows around, and that's how most people operate. Most people operate ready, fire, aim, right? Right? They're taking all kinds of action. Massive action is only the cure-all if you have a clear outcome and enough reason to get yourself to continually do it. That's why the sequence is critical. So what is RPM? Stands for the rapid planning method. It also stands for having a results-focused, purpose-driven, massive action plan. It stands for three questions. Question number one is, what specific result am I committed to? Get it down to results so it's measurable. Secondly, you're going to ask yourself what? Why do I want it? What's my real purpose? What are the reasons that are going to drive me? And the third question you ask yourself is, what specific actions must I take to achieve this outcome in this time frame? And the more specific you are about the actions, the better. Just like if you say, I'm going to lose some weight, it's not going to work. I'm going to lose 12 pounds in the next 3 weeks. That's very clear. Great. Why? Strong enough reasons. Then what specific do I have to do? If you go exercise, is that specific? Yes or no? You got to be so specific that you could hand this little, what we call RPM block, I'm going to show you how it's organized, to someone. They don't have to ask you anything. They know the outcome. They got strong enough reasons why. They know what to do precisely. And in fact, if they know the outcome and they got strong enough reasons, they can probably come up with their own plan how to get it done. And they may come up with a better way than you would. That's how you get out of being the person that's doing everything in your company. You don't just give it up and hope they do it. You don't just lay out some goals. You agree to the specific results that everybody's committed to. Everybody comes up with why the organization needs it, but they want it. Come up with an outline of the activity, but if the activity doesn't work, what do? Something else. If they know the outcome and they know enough reasons why, if that doesn't work, what do? Change it. What do? Change it. If that doesn't work, what do?
Change it.
How long? Until you get the result. And if there is a clear enough outcome and enough emotion and enough change in the activity, you'll get it. This is the essence of RPM. It's a way to maximize your results and maximize your fulfillment simultaneously, because you're fulfilled, because you're not just achieving something. You're achieving the vision you've created, and you have the emotions you want most attached to it. So the level of fulfillment goes crazy. It's no longer work, it's play. Well, welcome back. Took you on a bit of a journey here. I hope this has been helpful for you and helping you to get a sense of what you focus on is what you feel. Just remember, where focus goes, energy flows. And everything is trying to grab your focus all the time. Most of us are getting our attention driven off by what other people want us to do in reaction, or something we think will give us a lot of pain or a lot of pleasure, so we got to deal with it right now, or something we can escape with. But what we've got to organize ourselves around is, what do you want? What's most important to you? What's your outcome? And then why do you want it? We lose track if we allow ourselves to live in reaction. Take control of your mind, take control of your emotion, take control of your time with these three questions. What's my outcome? What do I really want? Why do I want it? And what's the best, quickest, most powerful way to get to that result? You don't have to do it all to get what you're really after. And by the way, RPM is more than just these three questions, more than the paper or computer product that you can utilize this in. It really is a system for managing your life. And part of what will make that work for you is, what if I told you could take everything that's stressing you out in your life and organize it so you only focused on what mattered at the time, and you could separate yourself from reaction? Well, the three questions are a part of that, but I'll tell you what you're going to learn if you go all the way through the entire Time of Your Life program, is how to take all these roles of your life, you know, as a father, a mother, a brother, a sister, the role you have in your work, your personal roles, your professional roles. If I could tell you that you could take all of that and go into the zone, you know, where time disappears, you're enjoying yourself so much and you're getting the most done, show you how to do that in each area of your life and keep it balanced. I mean, a good metaphor might be if I said to you, we're going to move the house and we took everything in your house and we dumped it all in the living room on the floor, clothing and bills and food and children's items and all that stuff. But what if I could tell you that I could take your whole life and put it in 8 drawers, and I could teach you what those 8 drawers are for you? We could customize them for you. And then in a few minutes, everything on that floor will fit into one of those 8 drawers. You know, you could show someone else how to do it. They could clean up that room really quick, and then you could focus on only that drawer at that time, called your body, or this part of your business, or this part of your relationship. There is a system, just as simple as these three questions are, that allow you to maximize your life by getting rid of the clutter and only focusing on what matters at one stage at a time with all your power and all your ability. So the system is obviously much more complete than the questions, but the questions alone, if you do nothing else but ask these questions, it can take you out of stress, because when you start focusing on what you want and what you're after, the brain's amazing. And I want you to know that you've already been practicing RPM, even though you may not call it that. If you've ever had something that seemed difficult or impossible, but you had a goal, you had a dream, you had something you really wanted, and you obsessed about it, you focused on the outcome, and you knew why you wanted it, and you kept thinking about it and feeling it, having had times like something like that, it just came together. You don't even know how, like you met a certain person, or all of a sudden, you know, you got introduced to someone, or you got an interesting insight, and you figured out how to make it work. This is a thinking process. But if you want to take it into a system that's automatic, where you don't have to think about it, where it's part of you, then please move forward to the next step of the training after this film and complete the rest of the Time of Your Life audio series, and or get a coach and let us help you make a difference. Again, we promise you results, or you pay us nothing. And it's your judgment. Start with a free coaching session. Call based on the number we have here, and let's get yourself started so we keep the momentum going. It isn't just some learning that's intellectual. It shows up as a new life for you. So I know this seems like a lot, and you're going to go to the video now that'll teach you chunking. But again, I really want to serve you. I hope you get the earnestness of my commitment and our team's commitment to get you results. Not only the achievement, but that fulfillment as well. So I hope that after listening to this, if you feel a little overwhelmed, here's what'll balance it for you. Just take a few seconds after listening to this right now, maybe even before you go to the video, and answer three questions. First question is, what do you really want for your life today? You know, maybe you've been doing the same thing for a long time and, you know, what do I really want today? It's time to make a shift. Maybe, you know, you're at a different stage of life. Maybe it's time for a new beginning. I'd love you to answer the question, just like a paragraph. What would an extraordinary life look like for you today? What would your life be like if you'd really mastered time? Second question is, if you don't master it, what is the stress of not mastering your time costing you? And just be honest with yourself and don't do this in your head. If you write it down, you'll instigate, you'll trigger your own inner drive. So please, before you go any further, what would an extraordinary life look like? That's number one. And what is the lack of mastery of time costing you physically, emotionally, in your relationships? Just, it may not sound pleasant, but we need both sometimes the carrot and stick to get ourselves to follow through. It's just useful to see the truth in front of us. And then the third thing to do, why don't you just take one aspect of your life and say, what's one specific result I want? What's something I want to accomplish? Maybe it's something right now you're saying you have to do. I got to call this person. I got to complete this thing. Come back and say, okay, I don't want to just call them. I just want to just complete this. What do I want? I really want to make major progress on X. I want to make major progress in my business on this. I want to make change in my body on that. I want to shift my family. There's an outcome you want. And why do I want that? Well, gosh, if I make this change in my business, my goodness, I'm going to feel phenomenal. I'm going to transform my life of my customers, or I'm going to have a heck of a lot more fun, or I'm going to have some free time. If I do this with my body, I'm going to have more energy. Pick an area where you think you have to do some things and ask yourself, what do I want? What does that relate to that I want? You know, I get a bunch of phone calls, perfect example, and I say, okay, I see all these people calling me, but what do I want? I want to make major progress on my book, let's say. I say, you know what? John's called me, Mary's called me, Paul's called me. Well, John and Mary both can help me on my book. I'll call them, find out what they want, but I'm going to ask them some questions that can help me in making progress. And why am I doing this book? Because I want to change lives. That's my purpose. I want to make a difference. I know it can free people when they understand this. And then how do I do it? Well, I'm going to call John, I'm going to call Mary, and I'm going to do this. In other words, build a little RPM block, if you would. Ask yourself the questions that will organize yourself and see if you can't make a change from have to get to. From a bunch of stuff you got to do to a targeted result that you really want, you know why you want it, and you know what to do to make it happen. That'd be the third step. If you just do the first two, it'll be fantastic. Go to the video. It'll help you. But again, please take me up on my offer to let us give you the whole system. And the way I can give you that offer also, so we're not just trying to push something on you. I mean, this is our life and business, but you become our client. We're here to serve you. I've been doing this 30 years. And in those 3 decades, I've built a pretty impeccable reputation in this area. It may sound like hyperbole, but you probably know our brand. And our brand is known not just because we've been out there for 30 years, but because we deliver results. And we put the judgment of that in your hands. So if you'd like just a free coaching session to get yourself started after listening to these two audios, call my office, use the code in the front of the package, and you can have a free session initially just to give you some results. My way of serving is to make sure we add enormous value to your life, much more than you would expect for your time or your money, to do it efficiently, to do it in a way that's fun, impactful, and one that gets results. So call us at 1-800-519-3910. It's 1-800-519-3910. Or, of course, you can go 24 hours a day to the website, which is tonyrobbins.com/more time. I hope this has been helpful to you. Go to the DVD, but please, first answer those 3 questions. Till I meet you in person, till our paths cross, I just want to say to you, make sure you live with passion. God bless.